right. Thank you, gentlemen. In a moment, we'll be in Matthew chapter 16 as we finish up our time together. I want to say again a thank you to each group that is here. Thank you for each youth sponsor that has planned and brought your group here. I realize for some of you, you've got a little bit of a trip home still yet, but I want to encourage you just for the next few moments to put that to the side and to focus on what God has for us. For all of you sponsors, when you received in your packet, you received a complimentary CD from the school, one that was just recently produced. And along with that, you have some things that tell you about future events. Two things I want to tell you that particularly pertain to young people. Number one is our summer ministry camp that we have every July. Let me ask this question. How many of you young people in this room, you sense at this point in your life that either God has called you into some aspect of ministry, or you're really considering it? Anybody like that? Just raise your hand. Keep it up just a moment. All right? Okay, good. All right, for those of you, every summer we have a ministry camp. It's called Camp Barnabas. And it is specifically designed to help those who already feel called to ministry in their teenage years and to encourage those who maybe they don't know that they're called, but they're open to it, to the possibility of serving the Lord in the ministry. We have that every July. It is a great week. And there are three different tracks that you can take. One is ministry, another one is music, and this year we've added a third, that's missions. In the ministry track, we talk about different things of how to minister at this age of your life in ministry, in your youth group, and to prepare you for a future of ministry. If you're in, you like music, you receive instruction, whether it be instrumental or vocal, and you're able to get that on a personal, close basis. And then for missions, if you want to be exposed to some primitive things that they would do on the mission field, come to that week of Camp Barnabas. Now, we won't make you sleep in the floor in 100-degree weather, but you know what? It may involve you helping construct things that you would have to do sometimes in a third-world country. It's the idea is to give you exposure to whet your appetite now for this idea of missions. And some of you, maybe if you're called that way, it'd give you some specific instruction. And sponsors, you have that information, at least the general dates in your sponsor material, and the material will be coming out at the beginning of the year. I would love to see a number of you back at Camp Barnabas. We'd have a great time. And then the second thing, sponsors, is next year's TAC conference. It's always the second Saturday in November. And we want you to come back next year. And so keep those things in mind. And I want all of you to know that all of you are welcome to come visit our campus during the school year. Now here at Ambassador, our focus is on training men and women for ministry and to give a good Bible foundation. I'm not here to twist your arm and say it's God's will for you to come to Ambassador. Because I don't know that. I don't know what God wants you to do individually, but I'm going to tell you something, young people. While not everybody in this room may be called to the ministry, let me tell you something. Every one of you ought to be willing to go. And I present that to you. And I'd love for you to come visit our school during the school year, twist your youth pastor's arm, not literally, maybe literally if you have to get here, and come for a visit and see what we're all about, and training people for the ministry and giving them all the Bible. We have a one-year Bible degree. You say, I don't know what I'm going to do when I get out of school, and I just have no clue. Come for a one-year Bible degree. You can't study a better book than the Bible, and you can't get a better foundation than the Bible. And it's amazing to see how some will come in that one-year program, and boy, they get it. And they go on to the next step, whether they continue at Ambassador or they go on to be a nurse, doctor, highway patrolman, whatever the case may be. And if you're here and God's called you to ministry, I hope you'll consider Ambassador. We're unashamedly conservative in our music. We are unashamedly emphasizing the local church. We're unashamedly Bible in our curriculum. We're not a liberal arts school. We train, take you from the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, book by book in the classroom, a family atmosphere, a place where teachers and students know each other by name. And so I hope that you'll be a part of us sometime during your course, your junior high school years, that you'll come for a visit here at Ambassador. Now, I want you to look me square in the eye. I'm going to ask you to do something here in a moment. I'm going to read and we'll preach. But in the second session, there were some of you that were hunkered down and started to sleep. So I'm going to ask you to do me a favor, okay? Can we do that? Can you do me a favor? We're friends, aren't we? Well, I'm your friend, whether you're my friend or not. If you see somebody beside of you and they're hunkered down and they're ready to sleep, if you have a pen or an elbow, a lethal weapon, do me a favor and make them not go to sleep. Can you do that? That's sort of rude. I hope when you go back and you're listening to your Sunday school class, you're listening to your preacher, I hope it's just not like, okay, I'm going to sit and see how low I can slouch and get my head down here. All right, that's, my mama taught me that was rude. All right, did your mama teach you that? You said, my mama didn't teach me that. Well, you should have had my mama. She'd have a way of teaching you. But I want you to sit up straight. Listen, you've got 5 hours, some of you, to sleep on the drive home, all right? You know that ain't happening. You're going to probably be yapping the entire way home from where you've eaten all this sugar today, okay? But sit up straight, and I want you to listen. Now, with that being said, I want to read from Matthew chapter 16. I want to read these verses that Jesus told His disciples, and you listen to me very intently for the next few minutes. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 24, the Bible says, "Then said Jesus unto His disciples." Now, I want to stop. I'll read the rest in a moment. But it is very important for you to note that what Jesus is about to say, He is saying it to His disciples. I don't believe He's talking to lost people. He's talking to His disciples. All right? You understand the difference? And so, and then said Jesus unto His disciples, listen to what He tells these disciples. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Do you know, I believe that if an entire generation of young people in this auditorium today grasped that verse and obeyed it, the world could be turned upside down with the gospel. Have you ever met somebody who was all in? You look at me like, all in? What's he talking about? You know, ladies, you like to play volleyball. It humors me. I go into a Christian school and I see these dainty ladies come into chapel. I mean, just feminine to the core, you know. They come and they sit down, woo-hoo-hoo, you know, and they're just, And school dismisses at 2:30. And you see a transformation take place. You see these dainty feminine examples strut and go their way into the gymnasium, and they come out of the locker room transformed. It's volleyball practice. They have lost their high-pitched laughter and their innocent and now they're decked out in their volleyball uniforms. They come, their pads are on their knees. And it's like when they come out of the locker room, they're like this. And all of a sudden, you see these short girls. I mean, the ball is hit to them, and you just see them leap in the air, and they're like... It's incredible. I just sit there amazed. I'm like, what did they drink? It's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. How many of you ladies like to really play volleyball? You like? How many? All right. How many of you like to really play the radio? Anybody? Okay. All right. How many of you guys like to play basketball? How many of you think you can play basketball? There's a big difference. I love to play basketball. You know what really gets me upset is to play with four other guys and one of them's not all in. You know what I mean? Listen, when I go out there to play, I want to play. You know, there's always one guy, he's like, oh, I'm just out here because I'm out here. I'd just like to take him and just kick him off the court. Let's play 4-on-5. All in. Some of you ladies, you're like, I'm not very athletic, so I just don't really care for that. You know, maybe you're all in about shopping, you know. So you're like, oh yes, Black Friday, I've already been scouting it out and I'm going to be sick that day so I can miss school and we're going to shop all day long. Listen, all of you this afternoon, you have to understand what I mean by saying all in. Some of you are all in about basketball. Some of you are all in when it comes to shopping. Some of you are all in about volleyball. But listen to me, every one of us, if you're a child of God, you better be all in your Christianity. And Jesus tells us how to be all in. Jesus told His disciples, He said, if any man will come after Me, the first thing He says is, let him deny himself. Deny himself. What's Jesus talking about? Jesus is talking about restraint. He's talking about restriction. Now here's where we need to stop for a moment. I could say you need to deny yourself, but what does that really mean, deny yourself? Have you ever denied yourself before? Some of you are like, okay, that's why I'm asking the question, because you need to understand what it means. Like for instance, some of you ladies, you're more conscientious about this than we guys are. Have you ever denied yourself chocolate? Some of you ladies, you're like, yeah, I just, you know, there's come time, you know, I don't want to eat chocolate. I don't need to. I want to, but I don't, because it's just trying to be careful, and so I'm not going to eat chocolate for 2 hours. You ever deny yourself? You know, guys, they don't think really much about that, you know. It's like, but girls do. You say, well, yeah, there's been times I've said, well, no, I can't have that. Yeah, you're a fella here and you're like, you know, maybe you're wrestling. Whenever I was in school, there were guys that would wrestle and they would sometimes dress in trash bags and run out in the heat so that they could drop enough weight. They would deny themselves. They wouldn't drink anything. They wouldn't eat anything. They would starve themselves and then they would make weight. And then once they did, they ate like hogs. You know, I gained 50 pounds after that just drinking water and eating everything that I could. So what does Jesus mean when He says deny yourself? Jesus is saying there are times that you have to say no to what you want because what you want is not always best. And if you're here and you're a spoiled brat and you give yourself all you want, you can't be a true disciple as Jesus has indicated. My daughter Karis, one of the first words she learned from her brothers was the word no. I can still remember it. She'd be sitting on the steps and they would look at her and they'd say, Karis, no. And she'd just sort of look at them. And then it happened. No. Her brothers. And you know, when she first learned that word, there's a lot of innocence to it, you know. How are you doing, Karis? No, no, no. What color's the sky? No, 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 no. Do you want a lot of money? No, 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 no. But you know what? Just like her sinful father, there came a day where she realized what that word meant. Clean your room. No. A lot of times when we think about saying the word no, we think of it in a bad context. Your parents say, clean your room. You're like, no, I don't want to do that. And it's not just because you don't want to do it. It's because it's hazardous to your health because you have no idea what you put under the bed, how long you've left it, and is it rotting and decaying? But a lot of times when you think of the word no, you think of the word no and the idea that's a bad thing to say. But I've got news for you. Sometimes it's a good thing to say. Do you know you can't follow Jesus, young person, unless you're willing to say no sometimes? I remember during my teenage years, you know, one of my biggest holdbacks during my teenage years were the friends that I had that I chose to have. I wasn't a victim. I chose to have them. And at the end of this message, I'm going to tell you about my 15th year of life, and I'm going to tell you about a way that God worked in my heart in a mighty way. But during the course of that, I had to be able to come to the point to say, all right, God, these friendships that I have to say no. I have to deny myself. I wanted them, but they were not good for me. Listen, for some of you young ladies, there may be friendships that are in your life, and God wants you to say no. You've got to deny yourself. They're not healthy. They're not good. They're pulling away, and you're afraid to say no. You know, there are times where your body says, boy, I really want this, I really want that, and you have to tell yourself no. You can't be an all-in Christian if you're not willing to say no to yourself. Now, I want to ask you, what is it that you need to say no to in your life? There's some of you, you've got some sinful habits in your life right now. Some of you can waste 10 hours a day on a video game. You know, there are others of you here. Listen, you've got things going on in the background of your life. You have things that you've been watching, places, sites that you've been visiting, apps that you've been using. You say, well, I really like that. And you know it grieves God. Listen to me, you've got to learn to deny yourself. You have to say no. So if you're going to be all in for God, listen, you don't have to be a great basketball player. I'm glad, because if that was the case, I'd never be all in. I'd be all out. Young lady, if you're going to be all in, you've got to be willing to say no to yourself. You've got to deny yourself. You know why I believe? Look at me. Hey, look this way. You know why I believe we're seeing sometimes in some places a dearth of young people going into full-time ministry? I'm going to tell you why. Because we're saying yes to the world and we're saying no to God, when we ought to be saying no to ourselves. So number one, it's the idea of rejection. You've got to be willing to say no. Jesus said, you want to be all in. If you've got to deny yourself, what are you going to give up before you leave this place? But then notice what else he says. He says, and take up his cross. There's identification. Somebody tell me what is perhaps the most obvious symbol of identification with Christianity. Just blurt it out. The cross. You walk into a church, you see what? You see the cross. You open a hymnal, you hear songs about the cross. Listen, if I came walking into a place and I had a big old cross, a necklace hanging around, you know, some people would say, wow, you know that guy, he identifies with Christ, he identifies with the cross. That's what the world would think. I want to ask you a question. Just as a young teenager, when Jesus said, take up your cross, what did he mean? You think Jesus meant, well, listen, when this is over with, when you go home tonight, go out in the dark, take you some headlights, go out into the woods and cut down two big trees. Cut those trees up, have a cross piece, and put that cross upon your back and make the other one and just take a cross everywhere you go. Is that what Jesus meant? If that's what he meant, a bunch of you are disobedient today, and I am too. So what was Jesus talking about? I'll tell you what Jesus was talking about. He was talking about the matter of identification. When he was talking about taking up your cross, he's not talking about you putting a cross on your back, but I'm going to tell you what he was talking about is being willing to identify with him no matter the cost. How does a teenager take up his cross? Let me tell you how a teenager takes up his cross. How many of you are in public school? Anybody? Hey, man, that's right where I was at 13 years of my life. Put your hands down. Let me tell you where you take up your cross in the public school. Listen to me. When you sit down at the lunch table and regardless of what everybody thinks, you bow your head and you thank God for your food. Are you afraid to do that? You say, oh, yeah, I'm afraid to do that because of what other people would say. Take up your cross. You know how you take up your cross? When you're in the Christian youth group. Now notice I said Christian youth group, all right? You're in your church's youth group. And all of a sudden one guy starts telling a joke and the very moment you know where it's going. You know how you take up your cross? I'll tell you how you take up your cross. When you're man enough to stop him in mid-sentence and say, don't go any further, I don't want to hear it. I'm going to tell you what, for some of you, it'd be a lot easier for you to tote a cross on your back than to man up and to stand for what's right in those contexts. Young lady, you know how you take up your cross? I'm going to tell you how you take up your cross. Listen to me. When the world comes to you and says, listen, You, in order to be accepted, you've got to live a certain way. You've got to dress a certain way. You've got to look a certain part. And you've got to act like the world. And you get around your friends and they laugh and they scoff at your behavior. And they say, listen, you're nothing but a square. My mom and dad let me do whatever. And you live under all of these rules. Instead of siding with your friends that are pulling you into the world, you put your flag in the ground and you say, listen, no matter what you say, I'm going to identify with Christ. You know what we need? We need some cross bearers in here. But the truth is, there's some of us, we're afraid to identify with Him. But you know what my prayer is? Is God would help us to get to the point that we're afraid to not identify with Him. How do people know you're a Christian? You say, well, I really don't want them to know that I'm a Christian. If that's the case, you're not an all-in Christian. People say, well, you don't cuss like we do. It's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. They say, man, you dress like weird. They say, man, you know, you go to church on Sunday. You go to church on Wednesday. Man alive, you get it like three times a week. What's wrong with you? You're a freak. Are you ashamed of that when somebody comes to you and they identify a part of your Christianity and you're like, oh, you know what you need to be worried about? You need to be more worried about identifying with Christ than identifying with the world. You know, there came a day, there were three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael were their Israelite names. And one day, the leader of the known world said, listen, when you hear the music, I want you to bow, and I want you to worship me. Nebuchadnezzar was his name. The music began to play, and all of a sudden, there were three people in that crowd. They said, we're not bowing down. We're going to stand up. And the king thinks, well, maybe they just misunderstood. Let's give these boys another chance. And before it's over with, you know what those three did? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Do you know what they did in the Old Testament? At the king's anger and wrath and insistence, they refused to bow their knee to worship Nebuchadnezzar. You know why? Because they would rather identify with God than to identify with the world. Now here's my question. If three Hebrew children could risk their lives, be thrown into a fiery furnace because they were men of conviction and they would rather identify with God, why can't some high schoolers in this room get the point and stand where you need to stand? Some of you go to Christian school and you don't identify with Christ like you need to, or if you did, you would shun some of the cronies that have influenced you the wrong way. You would take those sinful habits and you'd discard them. Listen to me. You want to be an all-in Christian? It's more than just wearing a cross on your shirt or wearing Christian school or Jesus and a name on some item of apparel. I'll tell you, it takes a lifestyle of denying yourself and taking up your cross. Rejection, denying yourself. Identification, taking up your cross. If you want to be an all-in Christian, it also involves dedication. Follow me. Those are two powerful words. You better be careful who you're following. Who are you following? Let me ask you a question. Are you more like your youth pastor? Or are you more like your favorite actor? Are you more like the world, or are you trying and striving to be like Christ? Who are you following right now? There was a man several years ago. His name was Thomas Harding. Thomas Harding, the best way I know how to explain it is Thomas was the bouncer in my junior boys' Sunday school class when I was a bus kid. Thomas was old then. He seemed like he was 100 years old, but he probably was only about 60. You know, when you're a kid, anybody over 30 is like really old. Don't be laughing, because when you get where I'm at, you're like, man, that's young. What's my problem? I was crazy as a kid to believe that. But you know what Thomas Harding's job was in class? We used to call him Uncle Tom. Uncle Tom's job was, when we were misbehaving in Sunday school, he would pinch us, and that part of our body that would not bruise but hurt with excruciating pain, and wake us up. He was the bouncer. Thomas Harding one day was driving a van on a Sunday school excursion with the older folks of the church. This is before cell phones and GPSs, by the way. And Thomas was following the pastor of the church. They were driving home on a field trip. They were on a busy interstate, and Thomas Harding got separated from the pastor. This is without cell phones or GPSs. And the pastor got back to the church with the people, and Thomas Harding and that other van was nowhere to be found. And so anyway, like 3 hours later, Thomas Harding pulls in with all of these older folks that were scared out of their wits. And the pastor says, "Thomas Harding, what in the world happened?" And Thomas Harding said, "Well, as I was driving down the interstate, when we got separated, I got scared and I didn't know where to go. So," and they were in another state. He said, "So I just found another vehicle that had a North Carolina tag." That's where we live. And he said, "I just started following it. I figured it'd take me to the right place." Well, it didn't. 3 hours later, he pulls into the parking lot. Everybody's scared to death. And, you know, listen, you don't have your license, but you're like, "Man, I wouldn't do that. Just because a car has a North Carolina plate doesn't mean it's like going to lead me home." You've got enough sense to know that. You'd say, "You better be careful. That's not what you want to follow." And you're right. But listen to me. There's some of you this afternoon, you've got more sense about what car you're going to follow than what you're following in life right now. You know, some of you, maybe it's friends, maybe it's the society of our day. That's what's dictating your life. Look this way, listen to me. Jesus said, "Follow me." You can't be an all-in disciple unless you have dedication. Now, as we close this afternoon, I want to ask you, have you ever had an all-in moment? You're like, "Oh man, here's this pretty all-in moment. What's he talking about? Like when I went to the refrigerator? When I was on the ball court, what's he talking about?" Let me tell you what I'm talking about when I say an all-in moment. Now listen to me, and I'm about done. When I was a teenager, I was saved at the age of 12. I was riding a church van. I never was really raised in church that much before this time. After getting saved, I started going to Sunday school, and you know what I started learning? I started learning that I was doing a lot of wrong, and I needed to get right. And for the next 3 years of my life, you know what it was? It was shedding rock music. It was shedding the wrong kinds of friends. It was cleaning up my language. I want to tell you, God had a lot of work to do in my heart during my teenage years. And I'll never forget, I was in a summer neighborhood Bible time crusade at my home church. It's like souped up vacation Bible school. Instead of making birdhouses, you're tackling each other. I mean, it was fierce. And we were in that Bible time crusade. I'll never forget, it was on a Wednesday or a Thursday night. The preacher was preaching that night, and he was really not a sight to look at. He was really skinny. He was skinny as a rail. His complexion had zits all over his face. He had big glasses like this that are coming back into style now. You know, I see some of you, and it's like you got huge glasses like bug eyes, you know. I'm like, wow, you know. They're coming back into style. They were in style then. This guy, hey, listen up, this guy was preaching, and I'm going to tell you, he wasn't something to look at, but I'm going to tell you, while he was preaching the Word, and he looked at me and he said, "Listen, you need to give yourself a living sacrifice." He said, "You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Why are you living for yourself? Why don't you sell out for God?" I listened to that for about 30 minutes. And you know what? I got to the end of it, and I said, "I think I know what that fellow's trying to say." At an invitation, you know what I did? The invitation was given. I went to the back steps of the fellowship hall, and you know what I told the Lord? I said, "All right, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it." 15 years old. Don't even have a driver's license. And you know, that was my all-in moment. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I'll tell you, there's 2 days I'll never forget. Number one is the day I got saved. Number two, I'll never forget the day I said, "All right, Lord, it's whatever you want." Listen, this preceded me being a preacher. I just didn't wake up one day and see two angels, "Hey, be a preacher." I'm going to tell you what, I never would have reached that point had I not first just said, "All right, God, whatever you want." I said, "Lord, I will take up my cross. Lord, I will follow you." And I'll tell you what, my life's been quite different since then, for the better. 2 years later, God called me into the ministry. You say, God called you to be a preacher? Some of you fellas like, boy, being a preacher is dull. How can life be dull when you got to mess with people like you, you know? Hey. People say, man, that must be a real drag to sleep in different houses all the time. No, it's really not. It's actually quite adventurous. Bed bugs, cats. I mean, you name it. Some of you ladies, you're like, man, I'll tell you, to be a preacher's wife, that must really be a drag. Don't talk to my wife that way. She wouldn't say that. She'd say, boy, we've seen a lot of things. We've done a lot of things, experienced a lot of things, met a lot of good people. That's just what God want us to do. Listen, when you leave this place, don't you feel sorry for the likes of me, because I'm going to tell you something. When you're doing what God wants you to do, you can't be any happier. But here is where it all boils down. You know, there are some of you right now, listen, the problem is not that you are untalented. The problem is not that you lack ability. The problem is not that you're some geek in your personality. You know what the problem is? There are some of you, you've never reached your all-in moment. And Jesus said, are you going to be all in? If so, then deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And in a crowd this large, I can tell you, I know there has to be a number. You've never reached that. Now, I can't force you. Can't do it at all. Can't force you to get saved. I can't force you to have an all-in moment. That has to be between you and God. But you know, I'm so glad that there was a young preacher who gave his life to preach the gospel who stood before me that night and he said, you know what, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. And he encouraged me to have my all-in moment. A lot of water's flowed under the bridge since then. I got 3 children. I got a wife. When I come home, I don't have to hold my breath and say, oh, this is going to be a long night. I get to come in at the college. I get to see about 170 young people during the course of a year as students who love the Lord. I get to preach in youth rallies. There are a lot of you I perhaps knew before I even got here. Let me tell you, I never would have any of those things had I not reached an all-in moment. And so you know what I ask you to do when you leave this place? I ask you to make sure you're all in. And if you'll do that, you know what I believe? I believe the best is ahead for you. And there are great days ahead. Would you bow your heads with me? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I want to ask 3 questions as we leave today. You know, I believe there were several from this very first service that still, after that service, you've said, you know, I'm not saved. You didn't respond to that invitation. Listen, what I've preached in large part in a moment, by the way, I've decided to follow Jesus, if we could. But you would say, you know, I haven't trusted Christ. I know that I need to be saved. You did not respond during the invitation. My message, in large part, where I'm talking to disciples, I'm talking to saved people. Listen to me, if you're here at this point and you know that you're not a disciple, you know that you're not a Christian, oh, the first place you start is by coming to the cross, by trusting Christ, becoming a child of God. Then you can be all in after that. And I wonder how many here you would say, Alton, I've heard this message. I realize it's in large part to believers, but I'm here and I still couldn't tell you that I'm saved. This morning there was a young man who came forward, or actually went to the back, trusted Christ, had not had long plans to be here, and God rearranged his plans so that he could be here. Why? Because that was his moment for him to hear the good news and to trust Christ. And there's some of you, you'd say, Alton, I'm here this afternoon and I have still not trusted Christ as my Savior. God is dealing in my heart. And you'd say, would you please pray for me before you leave? I promise you I'll do that. Would you just slip your hand up right now? You'd say, Alton, I know that I need to be saved. God is working in my heart. He has been. Would you pray for me? I still haven't taken care of that today. Anybody like that? Listen, there's some of you that are out here. I want to pray for you before you leave. All right, my second question is this. How many of you here today, now listen to me, don't you raise your hand for fanfare or think you're going to impress me by trying to answer in a favorable way. You know how you impress anybody? Just by being honest. That's what you need to do. But how many of you in this room would say, "Preacher, I honestly, as a Christian, I know I'm saved. I know I've had my all-in moment. There was a time when I knew that I had to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow Him. And not only was there a marked decision in my life, but as I sit here today, I can honestly say that I'm all in as a Christian." Now, if you can't, I'd just rather you be honest. You're not going to impress me by saying, "Oh, well, that's what the preacher wants me to say." But how many of you here today, you'd say, "Preacher, I'm here. Listen, I know I'm saved. There was a time in my life where I realized the importance of going all in. And as I sit here today, I can honestly say that I am an all-in Christian." If that's you, teenager, would you slip your hand up? If you can't, you keep it down. All right, thank you. You may put them down. You know what I'd like to ask today as you end this day? Are you willing to be all in? Some of you ladies, you're like, "Yeah, if I play with people and they're not all in, I hate it." You know, God's grieved when we're not all in.